What's going on, everybody? This is Gavin Kerr, and you are listening to The Mosh Pit.
Welcome to The Mosh Pit, your home for unsigned punk, rock, and metal artists, where your music goes to be heard.
Metal Birds, Life of the Party.
Gavin, man, thank you for coming on the Mosh Pit. Give our fans a little bit of a backstory about who you are, what you do, and why you're talking to me.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. So my name is Gavin Kerr, and I like to entertain. That's my biggest thing, you know. Music has been the main priority of that ever since I was little. Since I can remember, I've been singing and humming tunes and dancing around and whatnot. And right now, what I've been doing with a lot of my free time is putting that back into music. I do DJing, where it's not like I'm not making records or anything like that, but I'm doing karaoke and trivia nights at local bars. That's my main source of income. And then I'm also currently working on solo music right now. For the last 3 years, I was the lead singer of the metal band Dying Desolation and was recently fired from the band. So I said, fine, I'm just going to go and do my own thing. When it happened, I had a lot of people reach out who were confused and upset about the issue and wanted to help me out. So that's what I've been doing right now. I've just been taking all these resources that people have been so generous to assist me with and just pulling together this next awesome project.
Very cool, man. Sorry to hear about the split with the band, but
yeah, you know, it is what it is. part of me really does wish that we could have worked things out and that egos could have been put aside. But at the other time, I really did nothing but benefit from the situation.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's definitely good. And yeah, you know, it's one of those things, I guess, kind of a catch 22 of, well, this ended this way, but it could have ended worse. We could have stayed together longer and been bigger and then it end.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. But, in all reality, that probably would have worked in my favor too. Right. Just because then I would have had more of a following as well for when I do my solo stuff. But either way, you know, I made sure that it wasn't going to slow me down in any way.
There you go. Well, I mean, you've got a pretty good following right now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do the DJing, like I said, and then a lot of people who followed the band were there following me specifically, and they came over to my own thing. I have on Facebook, I just have Gavin Kerr Entertainment is the page that I have everything that I do on. I also do things like fire eating. I host podcasts. I have a show called Between the Notes where I interview musicians and bring them on and talk to them about just their writing process and their journey as a musician. And then I also do a positive news show called Java Delight from Monday through Friday, 10 to 12, where we bring on all kinds of inspiring and positive guests. And we just try to help people to get more tools to live a happier and healthier life, whether it's their diets or exercise or philosophy or working on their business. So I'm keeping busy, man, and I definitely have some people who are watching after me.
That's awesome, man. Congrats on all that. And let's touch base on your podcast. Dude, that sounds killer. Has there been any, like, are there any names you want to drop that you've interviewed? I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, which one? The positive one or the Between the Notes?
Between the Notes.
Yeah, Between the Notes. I can definitely do that really quick. So the first, actually right off the rip, I had Lena Scissorhands of Infected Rain on there. And we had a damn near 2-hour conversation. Just absolutely wonderful soul, beautiful person to talk to. Losing September was another big one we had on there. Sepsis. I recently just had one with Parabola West. There we go. I always get tongue-tied for some reason on that one. And then I have two more that I need to upload. But basically, Brian Tracy, for anyone who knows him, he was a trucker, and then he was in with some biker clubs. And he just has all these crazy connections and gets me all my interviews. And basically, he finds these people that he knows, or he knows someone who knows them, sends them an email, and they come on. And we talk anywhere between like 1 and 3 hours, depending on how well the episode is going and how well the conversation is or how much time we have.
Oh, wow. So how do you go about editing yours? Do you cut down to an hour, or do you just keep it the full 3 if it goes that long?
Oh, if it goes that long, I keep it. Like, I have a couple. I haven't had anyone that we've gone for 3 hours yet, but I have a couple 2-hour ones. I pre-record it. However, I don't actually edit anything unless something happens where they specifically ask me, hey, can you cut that out? Like, or like if there's like some like weird moments, like maybe like they went to the bathroom for a while or something like that, then I would snip that out and have them come back. For the most part, I like to keep it very, very open, very raw material. There isn't anything that I've had to edit out yet. And then the Positive Morning Talk show is live. So we do that. It's a 2-hour show. We do it completely live.
Man, that's cool, dude. You're just keeping busy and keeping connections with these other superstars.
Yeah. the one girl, Parabola West, she and I have been sending each other emails of just YouTube videos. Some of them are on like quantum physics. Some of them are on like philosophies of chess. Like we just nerd out with each other all the time.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a blast, man.
Yeah. We actually interviewed Sepsis couple months back.
Nice.
Such a cool band.
So down to earth people. I can't wait. to have them back on. Because we hardly even touched on their music itself. We mostly focused on their journey as musicians, and then how they've contributed to their community and built up their fan base. And they just really beautiful people. They are.
And I was reading one of their posts the other day about, what was it? Something, you know, we're not the biggest band out there, and they've got a killer following though, but they're just so down to earth. Just such fun people to talk to too.
In all honesty, as far as like, I don't want to call them a local band, but they're not quite up to the next level yet, but they're really close to it. And as far as I guess, for lack of better terms, local bands go, they have some of the most diehard fans that I've ever seen.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And have you talked to, or have you listened to Edge of Paradise?
I have not.
Oh man, you need to check them out. They're very, I don't want to say on the same level as Sepsis, but they're definitely down to earth, cool people. We interviewed them, I guess it was about middle of the year last year.
Yeah.
Another.
I just looked them up on YouTube. I'm going to see if I can get a hold of them then.
Yeah, that'll be a good episode. Let me know, because I'll definitely tune into that one too.
I appreciate it, brother. Hell yeah.
Edge of Paradise, Shade of Crazy.
So what all have you got coming up in the works? What anything big that you're working on that you want to plug?
Yeah, definitely. So right now, I have all the instrumental done for my EP that I'm going to be doing called Manifest Destiny. It has a handful. It's going to have a handful of featured artists on it. One of them being the drummer of Pray for Sleep, who is a up and coming band in Columbus. And then I have some other guitarists, vocalists who are going to be featured on that as well. But it's going to be a more punk feat or a punk themed album where I have songs that are more leaning towards like a Sum 41 kind of punk style, some songs that are more like a Rancid kind of punk style, and some that are more like a Rage Against the Machine. So I really want to explore the more punk kind of genre for this EP. And then after that, I will be going on to a full length album that will be it'll be my music and it'll be completely me. I'm not sure if I'll have any featured artists on that. I might, depending on what happens with people reacting to the EP that I'm releasing, Manifest Destiny. So all I got to do on that is the vocals, and then I'm demoing vocals right now. Then I'll do a recording of it, and then master mix, and then I'm going to start planning music videos and everything, and start releasing. Hopefully, before the end of 2021, I'll have that all out.
Ooh, very cool. Hopefully we'll get a track or two to play on the mosh
Yeah.
pit.
Yeah, you should have. I sent you two files right now. If you want, you can skip through those anywhere that you like. I don't expect you to play the whole song, but and then you're more than welcome to listen to the whole songs when you got your own time. I'd love to get some feedback on it and give you a behind the
Absolutely.
scenes of what I got going on so far.
Yeah, I'd love to. Probably when we get off this call, I'll give those a check out. Like I said, I was on the road all day today, and that's why I almost missed this interview, which I'm really glad I was able to get home.
Me too, man. What have you been up to today? You said you were on the road. Where are you going?
I had to go rent a box truck to get my stage.
That's
I'm
right.
doing.
That's right. You were telling me you got the new stage for furniture and whatnot in the studio.
Yeah, I'm gonna give the studio more of a home feel to it, because the old way, if you look at pictures on the website, the old way it looked great, it looked killer. I mean, I'm not tooting my own horn here, but I had the local radio station even come by one day, and they all looked at it and they're like, "Dude, I wish we had a setup like this at our radio station." He's like, "You've got better stuff here than we got." And I was like, "Yep, okay, I'm good."
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. But I
And
do
then
really dig the home feel that you're going for. I've been in a handful of studios, and the one that I felt I performed best in was the last one I did with Dying Desolation, because I felt the most comfortable in that studio.
nice. How
Yeah.
was their setup? Was it like close, homey?
It was so it was. His equipment was top-notch equipment, but then it was in the basements of some big office building where nobody was ever really at. So it was like it had sort of an intimate kind of setting to it. And then the vocal box that I was in singing was really, really small. Like I could touch the walls spinning in a circle with my arms out.
Oh,
So it
wow.
was a really small, almost soundproof area with a microphone and a light, and just nice and cozy, and I felt safe.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, where we picked up the stage today, the lady that was there, she showed me their sound booth that they're trying to sell, and this thing was gorgeous. Just, I mean, they said they used it for trade shows for people to go in and give their candid thoughts on, products and equipment and stuff. And this thing was nice. A little bit out of my price range and a little bit too big for my spot, but it was nice.
Window shopping never hurt anybody.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's what we're going to do, and I'm trying to keep it kind of hush right now because I posted, when I first did the studio, I was posting pictures of like almost every step of, "Hey, look, we got the rug. Hey, we got the floor done. Hey, we got this." This time I'm like, "All right, we had a flood." And I just backed off of social media. I'm still dropping shows because, planning ahead. And my wonderful, lovely girlfriend got me a nice little home setup for when I didn't feel like going to the studio, but I had something that I needed to record or whatever. So now I can record from home without having to go down there, but I also want to be down there.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that.
So Yeah, but there will be pictures soon, and we will definitely promote it. And hopefully, if you're ever in Atlanta, when you're in Atlanta, I'm going to say when, because I know you're going to be here someday.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been to so I used to travel a lot when I used to go out to Arizona and whatnot, and Atlanta was one of the places that every time that I was on a flight, I always had a layover in Atlanta. I never got to explore the city, however, but it was always one that I wanted to, because I always saw there was like so many people, seemed like there was a lot of interesting things to do around there. Oh, yeah. So I definitely will be checking it out one day.
Awesome, man. You let me know when you're here. We'll give you the guided tour.
Absolutely. I'd love that. That'd be awesome.
So back to your stuff and what you do, where do you get your inspiration for your writing of your music?
It really depends on what kind of song that I'm trying to do. You know, like sometimes, you know, obviously I write a lot of heavier music. So sometimes it's anger, sometimes it's pain and trauma, but then I also really like to write stuff that's just kind of fun. So sometimes it's just joy. You know, sometimes it's the love of just staring at the sky, or when I'm cooking, or like I'm at home cooking, I'll just think of words and stuff. I'll sing about any random thing that I'm doing. I'll sing about the actions that I'm doing while I'm doing it and just kind of make up words. Sometimes it's about philosophy. If I'm feeling a very existential, then I'll sing about the weird thoughts that I've been having. But I wouldn't say that they're now is one specific thing that inspires me. It used to be a very strictly therapeutic thing where I would even, like, I'd have panic attacks and just basically throw up lyrics on a page and then organize them a day or two later. But now it's something where I sit down and I listen to the music and I see what I feel from it, what kind of emotions. And then from there, I try to find a message. And then I come up with word schemes that portray that message.
Hmm. Sounds interesting. Sounds really cool though.
Thank you. Yeah. It's kind of like surfing in a way, where waves will come and I'll either catch them or I won't. And sometimes it's bigger than others. Like sometimes I'll get like a couple lines or even like just like a couple rhymes out of it. But then other times I'll get an entire verse and a chorus out of it if it's like a very big wave that comes over me.
Oh, nice. So when you were in the band, were you like the main writer of the songs, or was it like a collaboration? And is it any different from back then to now?
That is actually that was probably the biggest issue and why I ended up getting fired from the band was with the first album. The guitarist Gabe and I, we wrote the songs pretty much 50-50 or so. I did more in some songs, he did more in others. And then when we were writing the EP, there was a lot going on in my life where I was not present for a lot of that. I wrote the lyrics for the song Child's Play. That was a very personal song to me, but the rest of them, I kind of took a step back. There was a lot of things going on at home that were issues. I was working a whole lot. My dad had passed away during the time. There was a bunch of family drama going on. So, and they understood that. They were very, very, very respectful and very understanding about all of that. So for the EP, I didn't have a whole lot in lyrics except for the one song, Child's Play. And then when it came to the second album, you know, I told them I want to be a lot more involved with writing lyrics. They told me they want me to be a lot more involved with writing lyrics. And I spent probably 3 days just writing and writing and writing and came up with about 20 songs, some of them complete, some of them incomplete, put it all in a Google Drive, sent it to them, and they told me none of it was usable. They told me that none of the lyrics were good. And I was disheartened and confused, and so I asked them, I was like, all right, well, what don't you like about them? And they said, it's not what we want. And so I asked them, I said, okay, well, what do you want? And they said, well, we don't know, but it's not this. I was like, okay, so you guys want me to build a dream house blindfolded with not knowing what materials I want then, is what you're telling me. And we argued back and forth on it. You know, I'm trying to figure out what they want me to write. They were coming to me with things that I wasn't really feeling. And no matter what, I just wanted to work through it. I wanted to figure out where we could find a common ground. As long as they gave me a topic, that's what I was really just fighting for, to figure out a topic that they wanted so I could do that. Or give me like a band that they wanted something similar to, so I had something to kind of go off of. And a big issue with it as well was they all wrote they wrote their instrumental parts. So Gabe took care of his guitar, Simon took care of the bass, Jordan took care of the drums. Perfectly fine. And then we all chimed in here and there for like, oh, why don't you do this little variation here instead? But for the most part, they had say in what happened with their instruments. And then they all wanted to write the lyrics with me. They were very restrictive as far as just letting me write lyrics on my own. They wanted us all to get together, which I appreciated having their input, but at the same time, I know what my vocal capability is as far as melodies, and I also want to be saying my message and have my voice. I don't want to constantly tell other people's stories. When Gabe came to me and he had a song that was all written, all the lyrics, I'm like, cool, yeah, if I like the lyrics, I do. Maybe like I'll change a word here or there, but for the most part, I kept it the same because it's his story. It's things that he wants to get out. Same thing if Simon or Gabe or Simon or Jordan wrote a story or wrote a song for us. But it got to a point where I felt like I wasn't being able to say anything. Or if I was saying things, then it was like a quarter or half of my lyrics. And so the story was completely changed. The context and the perspective was completely changed. So it was no longer my story or my voice. And that really bothered me. And that caused a lot of issues with us in the band.
The Mosh Pit is still looking for unsigned and indie artists to submit music to be featured on the podcast. You can submit your music at themoshpit@stereosoundrecords.com. All submissions are welcome. You can also submit topic ideas if you want us to talk about a particular subject.
Gavin Kerr, Allegiance.
understand that. I can absolutely understand that.
Yeah. You know, like, I feel like the vocalists should write their parts, plain and simple. If people want to chime in and add things to it, I think it should definitely be taken into consideration. But I don't think it's necessary for lyrics or vocal melodies to be changed unless musically it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
And I think you probably agree with me on this. You know, if I give you an idea and I give it to you and then you turn around and you say, well, I don't like that. And you go, well, what don't you like about it? And they go, well, we don't know, but we just don't like it.
Yeah, that was my issue too, is that it was very it was a very two-dimensional kind of argument. And it got to a point where they had a group chat that I was not involved in. They were having rehearsals and writing without me. And so I felt like it very, so like over time, somehow turned into me going to them like a council almost. Like I was like working for them in a sense.
Yeah.
But then I was still contributing money and time and everything to the band.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
But man, dude, I'm glad that you've moved on from that and you're doing your own stuff and, you know, bumping the road, slight divergence.
Mm-hmm.
But now you've got your stuff. You're killing it with what you're doing. So I guess what I'm asking is, where are you looking to go from here? What are your three goals for, let's not just say 2021, let's say 2022. What are your three goals you want to accomplish within the next year from now?
Yeah, so I guess goals with the music would be to be the first, definitely I'll have that EP out with at least one music video. It's five tracks, so I'll probably do one music video and then maybe like one or two visualizer videos or like some kind of graphic design videos. And then the rest will be just lyric videos. I would love to headline a show as a solo artist. I think that'd be absolutely awesome. And I know that I can actually pull it off. I have a place in mind, but it won't be open until 2023. The Fantasy in Lakewood is being completely redone. I'm actually one of the people who are working on it right now and doing construction there. The LGBTQ community bought out the whole place, that whole block basically. And so I think that'd be an awesome place to host a show there someday. But before then, I would like to be a headline for a show doing my solo. And then as far as goals for the podcast go, for Between the Notes, I'd really love to get either MGK or Miley Cyrus. I'd like to get one of them on, because I do all genres of music on there, and I think they have both. While one, they're definitely in the spotlight this past year, they both have a really crazy career path on how they've changed their look, their sound, and everything to get to where they are. So I'd like to hear their thought process on all that and get to know them a bit more. As far as career-wise goes, just, you know, keep kicking ass with doing the gigs that I have been, helping build the DJ company. I'm working with the CEO of Delight, which is a CBD company. That's where the Morning Show Positive or the Positive Morning Show podcast comes into play. It's we're building a community together to help with the product and helps just sort of bring people together in this more positive light. Cause you know, this last year and a half it's been shitty, man. There's no other way to put it. And it doesn't have to be. I believe a lot of great things have came out of 2020, and we just have to sort of change our perspective and adapt to the restrictions that have been put on us to come out on top and better than ever.
Yeah, I completely agree. As much of like you said, a shit show 2020 was, the only thing that's really keeping me on the positive side of everything is trauma creates some of the most beautiful art, whether it's paintings, whether it's music, whether it's movies.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I'm looking forward to the future of, okay, everybody's moved past that, but they're going to use that as their creative inspiration to make something better.
Well, I really do believe that, 2020 forced us to evolve as a society. It created this huge divide where there was two kinds of people. There were those who sat at home and did nothing and kind of withered for a while and still are now, and they've essentially given up. And then there are those who decided, you know what, I'm going to go out, I'm going to do something badass, I'm going to do something crazy, because the world is falling apart around me and I feel like I have nothing to lose. So why not go out there and take a couple risks and make some big jumps and see what I can make happen?
Absolutely. I mean, at this point, like you said, there's basically nothing left to lose. I mean, you may as well go for it.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? talking about the venues that you've played before, what are some of your favorite ones that you're looking forward to playing again?
In all honesty, the Foundry definitely being one. It's a small venue in Lakewood. It's actually right across from the Fantasy. And I'll tell you what, that's probably one of, if not the smallest venue that we ever played, but some of our best shows ever were there. Like they have awesome food. They knew how to pack a crowd. We knew how to pack a crowd there. The stage guys there doing the lights and the sound were really cool, really awesome. The manager there is a sweetheart. I absolutely just love that environment. So that would definitely be a favorite of mine that I would love to go back to. And then I would like to start doing more festivals. I'd really like to start doing shows outdoors or long, like, big shows. I remember we did two festivals as Dying Desolation. We did one at the Agora, which was the Chaos and Carnage tour. We were like the first or second band to play at that. It was our third show as a band. We were just infants in the metal world. And then we also did the Rock Out Camp Out in Chillicothe, which is it's a big food drive event that happens every year and just gets bigger and bigger each year. And not only was that my first outdoor show playing with Dying Desolation, but it was also our first like overnight show where we ended up camping out there, Simon and I, for the night. And that was an absolute blast. I made a lot of friends, a lot of connections, and a lot of memories at that show. So I would definitely love to do some more outdoor things, some more festival things, and go back to the Foundry specifically.
Nice. Yeah, definitely looking forward to, hopefully I'll be able to catch some of that too.
Yeah, I'd love to see you there.
Man, love to be there. Before I let you go, do you have any advice for any up-and-coming bands that are trying to make a name for themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. So, one, you know, anytime that you're doing something, whether it's joining the military, going to school, joining a trade, becoming an entrepreneur and starting your own business of any kind, just know that it's going to take average 4 years before anything really happens, before you start to get like a penny in your pocket or you really have a career set for you. It's going to take on average minimum 4 years. Keep that in mind, because you're going to have times where you're going to want to give up, where you're unmotivated, where you want to quit. You want to stop training. You want to stop working. You want to stop studying. If you're truly passionate about it and you truly want to do it, you're going to have to suck it up. You're going to have to push through those times. And they'll come and they'll go. You'll have awesome moments. You know, being in the band wasn't always sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It actually was very little of that. It was mostly business. It was talking to fans. It was ordering merchandise. It was designing things. It was writing. It was recording. It was planning. It was a lot of work. And as much work as it was, I still loved and do love every moment of it. The hard times and the bad times. As far as the biggest advantage that you could have when doing any kind of business, not even just music, make connections with people. You know, one of the things that I really strived to do that I felt like other people, not just in my previous band, but in other bands that I saw, was a lot of people who didn't make connections. You know, I love talking to people. And even if I'm not in the mood to talk to people, I still go out and talk to people, because I know that you can make mutual benefits. I'm not saying take advantage of people, but I am saying find people who can benefit you that you can benefit as well, because then you build relationships and then your life becomes a lot easier because you know where to go to find resources. And oftentimes you can find cheaper deals through that as well. I have people like my tattoo artist, for instance. I've been going to him for 3 years now. He's the only tattoo artist I go to, and because of that, he'll do deals with me now and again. I know people who shoot music videos where, you know, I talked to them a whole bunch, became really cool with them, and now they're going to give me deals on videos when I start doing that for this project. Recording, same thing. I've become great friends with some awesome producers who are really helping me out with everything. So if I got to tell you anything, just be persistent, be patient, and be kind. Make connections with people. That's the best thing you can really do for yourself, because you never know when you're going to need those people or when they're going to need you.
Absolutely. And don't, I think I'll add on to that. Don't judge anybody by what you think they are.
Yeah.
Because I can't tell you how many times I've walked up, met somebody, and I'm just thinking it's just, you know, a regular guy, just a fan. No, this guy's like, he owns his own recording studio, and he's like, hey, if you ever want to swing by and record in our spot, let me know. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Last night I was running karaoke at Hatfield's Good Grub in Cleveland, Ohio. I was hosting karaoke there for a show, and this guy, he was singing, and he was like a good singer, like really good. Like I could tell that he had training. And he came up to me halfway through the show. He goes, hey, here's my card. I'm the lead singer of a band, and we do a lot of out-of-town shows. I'm looking for somebody who is willing to play guitar and sing and do backup vocals in the band. You know, I'll pay you and all this stuff. And so I can't say who it was yet because nothing is set in stone, but I'm meeting him next week, and he loved watching me perform and everything. He's like, yeah, dude, I want you. I want to talk to you a bit more and see about having you on the team. So right then and there, you know, that was an opportunity that just came out of nowhere from me just being me and enjoying people and enjoying life.
There it is. And those things, they can come around, but they don't come around more than once, especially if you turn down one opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, man, good luck with that next week. Hope
Thank
everything
you.
Works out.
Die with me, Unspoken.
Just don't know.
us today.
Oh, you're good, brother.
But
you are all good.
Yeah,
I put everything into my Google calendar, so I got a pretty because I got a busy schedule, so I make sure I keep it organized.
Right, and I kind of since the flood, I kind of quit scheduling stuff. But I remembered we had talked, and I could have sworn I put it on the calendar, but life happens.
Yeah, you're good, man. We're here. That's what matters.
That's right. And actually, that's where I was today. I was picking up a new stage because I got a new couch. So I'm going to put everything kind of up.
Nice.
It's going to look pretty sweet.
Nice. What are you putting it up on? Is it like a PVC stage or using wood or metal?
It's a full wood stage. Lady out of Norcross, about an hour and a half from here, she was like, hey, I went over there to their warehouse today, and they've got stuff where they sell stuff to movies that are shooting in town.
Yeah.
So they've got all these props and all this stuff, but they also build stages, build sound booths, and what she could build me a stage for, 12 by 8.
Yeah.
And 8 inches off the ground. I was like, oh, yes, build it, because I'll pay twice that if I go buy the wood.
Oh, I know. I just built some. You know what a captain's bed is?
Yeah.
I just built one for myself because I had two twin beds. And I wanted to put them together to make a full or a queen bed. And so I went to a Home Depot, and that I found out the hard way that wood prices are way up right now. But I'll tell you what, I spent maybe around $250 for all the wood once it was said and done. But I was looking up online, and the bed that I built and the design that I did, I'm seeing the minimum for $2,500 or for $1,200.
Wow.
So if I were to turn around and sell it, which I built it so it's easily disassembled, if I were to sell, I'd make all that money back and then some. I'd make like a 500% profit on it. So I'm definitely happy about that.
Oh, nice. Hey, that's even better than what AMC's returning right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.